It's time for the Daily Sports Dump. And I'm your host, Joe Canale. Yes, that's right, folks. It's me, your host, Joe Canale. The booze were already put in there for you, so you didn't have to do it. All right, we've got a bigger episode than usual today with a guest coming up. But first, let's get to the jokes. Phoenix Suns center DeAndre Ayton received a 25-game ban for failing a drug test. Ayton was reportedly surprised by this information, saying he thought he'd correctly guessed every single drug he'd taken in the past year. He misunderstood. In MLS news, LAFC beat the LA Galaxy in a playoff match last night, of course dubbed El Tráfico. Now, after the game, Galaxy star Zlatan Ibrahimovic appeared to grab his dick, but after VAR review, he was given a yellow card and cited for a handball. That's a real in-depth soccer joke. And in kind of football news, XFL draftee Corey Vereen quit the league after he found out how little the players would be making this upcoming season. When told about this, XFL owner Vince McMahon immediately promised to triple the players' salaries, adding, "No amount of money is too much when the check's going to bounce anyway." All right, those were the jokes. Now we've got a little special treat for you. Comedian Tommy Bechtold, he says it correctly in the episode when I mispronounce it again. And I discuss, we discuss Detroit and how it's given away all its good players. We discuss the entitlement of athletes, and we kind of talk a little bit about current sports. But it's mostly busting athletes' balls for being so rich and out of touch. So enjoy this conversation, and we'll catch you on Monday for another Daily Sports Dump. And I've got to tell you a few more things that I won't say at the end. You can download, subscribe, rate, and review the podcast on iTunes or Spotify or Podbean. It's listed under the Sports Dump. You can follow us on Twitter at Sports Dump Show, on Facebook at Sports Dump, if I stay on Facebook, and on Instagram at @the_sports_dump, because I accidentally deleted the other address. And then go to sportsdump.com for archived information. All right, enjoy the interview. And we are beginning the interview. I guess it's been handed off from me to me earlier in post. You don't understand. Well, you understand, but you don't need to hear any of this. I'm here with Tommy Bechtold. Did I say that right?
Bechtold, close.
Bechtold.
Common pronunciation.
Bechtold.
That you just did, though.
It's gonna happen, yeah. A few more times. A comedian, Los Angeles comedian here, improviser.
Yes.
Man about town. You still do stuff on Jimmy Kimmel?
Yeah.
Fairly frequently.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. I like doing those gigs. They're quick. They come the day of.
Yes.
I haven't had one in a long time. Yeah. But who is the casting woman?
Cecilia Plevin.
Cecilia, yes. Yes. Yeah. I like Cecilia. I used to see her at I.O. She used to actually come to shows.
Yes.
Which, when you see a casting person who comes to shows, God bless that person.
Yes. It's a special place in my heart for casting directors who attend.
It's a rare breed.
Yes.
So we're not here to talk about improv shows.
No.
We're here to talk about sports, kind of.
That's right. Yeah.
And Tommy, you hail from? Do you hail from Detroit? You have Detroit connections.
I do not. I hail from New York.
Hail from New York, upstate Buffalo, right?
Buffalo, Rochester area. My father went to school at Eastern Michigan.
That's right.
And raised us all Tigers fans.
And you'd been to Old Tiger Stadium. Yes. We talked about that.
Yes.
And so, as someone who knows Tigers fan, or who was a Tigers fan, uh-huh. The World Series is filled with Tigers pitchers.
It's great. We have our stink all over that. All roads leave Detroit for better,
it's
greener
true.
Pastures.
It's true. I mean,
John Smoltz was kind of the original.
Oh.
Took off. We traded him for
Doyle Alexander. That's one of the most famous bad trades ever.
10-0 when we got him, and I believe did not win another game.
I think that's true.
His ERA was like 9 for the rest of the year. So.
Yes, and I remember Doyle Alexander reminded me there used to be an old-time player named something. I don't know if it was
there
also
was
Doyle.
Grover Cleveland Alexander.
Yes. I think were both of the guys alcoholics? Were they both big drinkers? This could be total
slander.
I'm throwing out there just thinking. I know he looked like an alcoholic.
I mean, he certainly had all of the physical.
Yes.
I mean, if we're judging books by covers, which in 2019, we really are doing
yes,
that all day.
That's all it is. Well, Doyle Alexander looked like he was about 50,
yeah,
if I recall.
Yes.
And he couldn't have been more than like
34.
He was
34. In that Otis Nixon Hall of Fame of
yes,
like looking 80. No,
Greg Oden.
Every age. Yes.
Otis
yes,
Nixon's a great
oh
example,
my God,
too.
Yeah.
Yes. The. Oh, I'm trying to think of a couple other guys. Robert Parrish kind of looked like that. George
yes,
Foster, I don't know if you remember him. He
yes,
was a baseball player who looked quite old.
He was the previous, before Cecil hit 50, he was the last guy to hit 50.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. And he, again, he always looked to be in his 50s
yes,
his entire career.
I wonder if that's a physiological thing, making them superior athletes. Like if they're, maybe it's like
right,
the
they look
tissue
like, yes,
and their faces age faster.
Sure, it's like the man amongst children their whole lives.
Right. Right, exactly.
You know, Greg Oden looked like a man amongst
he
children.
Had to, I mean, that was insane. He was 18,
yeah,
and he was balding, and he had, like, tremendous wrinkles on his face.
Oh, definitely. Like, I mean,
yeah,
there's a lot. Of, that's an interesting list. Maybe a little more research will put out the oldest-looking young mm, athletes. I like that.
Nice.
Old people. So do you have a rooting interest in this World Series here?
Well, I have completely 180'd from where I thought I was going to
okay,
be. I headed in going for my boy Verlander just because I love him.
Sure.
And after all of the bullshit with the assistant general manager, I'm like, can we? I don't know.
It's interesting.
I'm sorry for cursing.
Oh,
I don't
no,
know,
you can curse
but
on
I
this.
Was
no
just,
one's listening.
I can't root for them. They,
no.
They're just like a team of assholes. For
absolutely.
Lack of a better, I mean, they have whether it's Gurriel making Asian eyes at somebody.
Most baseball players are probably assholes.
Right. I mean, professional athletes in general, to get to that level, the competitiveness.
The competitiveness and then the entitlement.
Yeah.
Because
oh, yes,
when you're that title, when you're that talented,
mm-hmm,
unless you're from some impoverished country, and even then you're getting probably special treatment
right,
relative.
Right.
But your whole life, you're treated like a king.
Well, that's like you hear like that's like the story of like all these players that seem so have all these clean cut images and they're so quiet and soft spoken. And then they have three secret families in different cities and aren't their wives.
That sounds
they're
exactly
strong,
like the you know, the moral majority.
Yes.
The that is always proselytizing.
Yes.
Or yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's true.
And
it's,
I love a secret family, by the way. I'm not knocking it. I used to collect
nothing
cards,
wrong with
I
secret
collected
families,
as many Chipper Jones cards as I could.
Does
back
he have a
in
secret
day,
family?
He had. Remember, he was like the was like the Tom Brady of
really
of like. Well, remember, like everybody loved Chipper Jones, and like girls were like, he's so cute.
Yes, yes.
And they were like, oh, and he's got this great family.
Oh,
he's married,
my goodness!
And then it was like Chipper Jones fathered a child, and like it was like
every city
it,
he was
yeah,
in.
He had like three or two, at least more than one.
Right.
Baby mama. Well, he was. You know, also,
on the team, all
marriage
married.
And, they,
he had a National League. He had National League East families everywhere.
Exactly.
You got your Philly family,
right,
your New York family.
But they were just scouting for him, I'm sure. So
yeah,
it was all it's a business decision.
I mean, the lifestyle basically lends itself to
yeah,
infidelity.
Yes,
you're in different cities for three nights in a hotel suite.
Yeah, being treated like a god, like
yep,
being told how wonderful you are. Fans rushing at you. Obviously, people are going to be more attracted to you in that situation.
Sure, and athletes are generally, in some respects, at least more attractive than the average person.
Yeah.
Physically in better shape.
Sure, for sure.
For those who don't like, you know, to laugh.
Right, exactly.
That's
I mean,
our, that's
if you,
our.
If you want
connection,
relationships devoid of joy.
That's right.
Yeah.
Just money, big house, and infidelity all the time. Yeah. Go ahead, marry a baseball player.
My sister dated a guy who played for the Twins in the Rockies.
Okay.
And then he went to Japan to play.
Ah.
And shockingly, their relationship did not survive.
It
that,
did. That's
that,
a
that
bit
move,
longer distance.
Rochester to Japan was
yeah,
not the the smooth
actually, that's only an 18-hour flight.
Yeah, it's not too bad. She actually went a couple times.
Did
it,
she?
She's, it was just too hard. But he was,
I
this,
was
like, massive relief pitcher. It was really funny. We
what
went,
was his name?
His name was Juan Murillo.
Okay.
From the Dominican. He but so my sister's a nurse. And they met at a bar because he was pitching for Rochester's AAA team,
oh,
which is
sure,
the Twins affiliate.
Absolutely. The
they,
Red Wings, Rochester.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they hit it off, but it was really funny. So he invited us all to a game. I happened to be home
yep,
visiting. And my dad went. And he was so nervous to pitch in front of my dad and, like, meet my dad. He threw, like, the first three pitches over the catcher's head. And then after the game, he was like, I was just really nervous.
That,
like,
oh,
I didn't
my
want
goodness.
Your dad. It was really funny.
That's kind of,
like,
sweet in a way.
Yeah, it's like this millionaire, 6'8", 270-pound
relief
pitcher.
Oh, my God. He's like the Betances on the Yankees, a huge dude.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I remember him. A lot of players go over there and make good money. Alfonso Soriano, he actually played in Japan before he came to the Yankees, and did very, very well.
Cecil famously resurrected his career.
Did he?
Henshin for the Henshin Tigers.
Oh, man, I bet they loved him hitting homers.
Oh, my God, he probably ate an ocean's worth of
sushi
every night.
I would love to go, you know, like, culturally, I'd love to go to a European soccer match. And I'd love to go to a Japanese baseball game, I think, because it's such a different environment. Or Korean, actually. South Korea.
Oh, sure.
They're bat flipping, and there's a lot more kind of flair.
Flair, I like that.
Oh, wow. We actually talked about something. So I'm also rooting, and I think a lot of people, I'm a Yankee fan, and my wife was saying, you know, a lot of people take the stance that you should root for the team you lost to.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Right? Because then it's like, well, at least you lost to the champ.
Yeah.
I'm too embittered.
Yeah.
I'm too angry to do that. I want them to suffer. Yeah. And then, like you said, after the way they handled the whole thing.
Yeah,
and again, the Astros, didn't they steal from the Cardinals?
Didn't they
steal, like, intellectual property?
Yes, they,
like,
hacked
a lot of stuff?
Their computer, right?
Yeah. And let me just say, anytime a team in Texas is successful,
yeah.
Remember those Rangers teams that were successful? They were juicing up the wazoo.
Yes.
The old Houston Astros teams with Bagwell and Biggio.
Oh, my God, yeah, the Killer Bees.
and Caminiti was there for a bit. Like, I feel like the access to steroids is great in southern Texas.
Yeah, I don't think they're monitoring that too
much.
They grow, everything's bigger in Texas.
Everything.
As they say. Still even trading for Osuna when he was serving a 75-game suspension.
While the suspension.
For domestic violence. Like, as if that didn't leave a bad enough taste in your mouth. And, like, I still even, for me, I'm a little bit like, yeah, I am kind of ashamed that I was just like, I'll still root for the Astros.
It happens all the time. I'm a Yankees fan.
Uh-huh.
Chapman.
Sure.
And the whole way with Chapman. I mean, the Yankees basically took him when he was at his lowest value because he had just fired 8 shots into a garage.
Right, right, right.
The Dodgers backed off,
yeah.
And that has cost them, to be fair,
yeah.
That has probably cost them at least one World Series.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the Yankees get him, mm-hmm. trade him for maybe the best young player in baseball now. What's the name of the second baseman? I can't believe I can't remember the Yankees' best player.
I can't remember either.
They trade him from the Cubs, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
It's okay. I waked and baked. The point is, and then they sign him back afterwards.
Uh-huh.
And again, like, where is the uproar? It was uproar a little bit. Now, I don't know, and I apologize for not knowing the details. And this is one of the things, you don't know this, Tommy, but I'm always talking about inclusion and having women. I had a conversation with Sarah Spain. I interviewed her, and she actually kind of called me out a little because I was like, you know, we need to have women in these sports things to talk about these domestic abuse things and situations. She's like, you know, they could also talk about women's sports. I was like, you're right.
Fair point.
But in situations like this, I feel particularly unprepared to discuss. You and I mean, we're on the right side of all of it.
Sure.
But we're still lacking a little of the perspective in all of this.
Absolutely.
And how offensive it all is.
Right.
We can, and I like how baseball's journalists stood up.
Yep.
And that's kind of what made this happen.
Yep.
I think political journalists could take an example.
I agree. Grow some backbones.
Yes.
And it really, yeah, because, you know,
they stood up, and
the Astros' first statement was pretty egregious. They said that SI fabricated the story.
Oh, I mean, it was.
Which is the biggest accusation you can make against a journalist,
yes.
is that they made up a story. And then when all of the other journalists in the locker room backed up Ashley Epstein, and they backed her up, and then they were like, no, we've seen it, and then there was a video of it.
Yes.
Then the Astros and this ass clown, whose name
I
can't remember.
And that's fine.
Put out terrible statements that were like, well, now they're just misunderstanding what I meant. And it's like, you yelled out, I'm so
fucking glad. And specifically at her, and she had that bracelet.
I love Osuna, and you pointed at her. Like, it was like, come on. I think he got fired today.
He got fired yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah, when you're basically seeking someone out for wearing a domestic violence bracelet and then accosting them,
yeah.
That's kind of a
low
character thing.
Move right there.
Very
that's
low.
That's going to be a tough Halloween for him, I think.
And that's the interesting thing, though, is we are in a... I mean, when I used to do this podcast more frequently with Ephraim Salam, NFL veteran, we would always get into these racial discussions about Kaepernick, which is he's still relevant,
mm-hmm.
but it's just like the rule of the day seems to be, and the lessons coming from as far up in the top as it can be, is cheat, steal, lie for as long as you can.
Yep.
Deny even when you get caught,
mm-hmm.
unless it is 100% against you. Keep
right.
fighting.
Yep.
And if you have power, it's been shown that that can sustain you for quite some time.
Sure. I mean, really, I was talking about this last night with a friend. Like, the one thing that keeps me from totally losing my mind with the NFL as a Bills fan, and watching the Patriots year after year be successful, is that their entire 20-year run has multiple scandals that are egregious cheating. The golden boy of this run was suspended for 4 NFL games for cheating, for
right.
literally deflating a ball
yes.
or giving. So it's like, no matter how many Super Bowls they win, and you know, if they win this
filming
year,
the opponent
filming
against
the
rules,
they were out on the Bills practice field. Belichick's son had to be escorted away,
of course,
because he was out just trying to watch them practice. And the Bills like were like, "What the
Look,
hell are you doing?"
There's a Machiavellian element to our society right now,
mm-hmm.
and I think, and I don't, I'm not old enough to know, but the term Machiavellian used to be a bad term.
Yes.
And I think it's been turned to a good term yeah. of like at any cost.
Right.
At any cost, no yeah. matter what it is, no matter what the sacrifice is.
Yeah.
Especially if the sacrifice is little people,
mm-hmm.
it matters not at all.
Right.
I get mad even sometimes. I listen to Tony Kornheiser's show.
Yep.
And I like Kornheiser, and he's
Me
probably
too.
A liberal guy for someone his age.
I think for the most part, that's
for
the perfect
but
way to put
even
that.
Him. Yeah. Is like, you know, he talks about Elizabeth Warren, for example. He's like, she wants to take all my... The amount of money she would take from you, Tony,
yeah.
it would sustain you or I for a year,
right,
but
right.
it would make no difference to a man who owns his next door house and keeps it empty so he doesn't have neighbors.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Like, yeah. if you have a spare house that you're just
That's
using
to
keep... That's
a sign you maybe have too
yes.
much money, is
yes.
when you can start manipulating property around you so that you don't have so to see people.
That's it. You like, just buy it and leave it vacant.
Yeah.
he's what I like about him is he's pretty upfront about his selfishness,
yes.
And
yes.
And even that is a difference, because like we can all see it,
mm-hmm.
so at least acknowledge it.
Yeah, it's like whenever we're fed narratives of celebrities being very grounded, normal people, and you're just like, I'm watching this interview with you where you're showing me your house trying to be normal,
yes,
and you're like, these are the power candles that we light every day to make sure that everyone has a successful day, and they each...
Well, maybe when you get a success like that where it comes out of nowhere, and I think it's why athletes who are so gifted
mm-hmm.
sometimes turn to the Lord in a very strong way, because you're like, how did this happen to me?
Right, 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 sure.
Like, we know a lot of people who work in the comedy industry. We do, too, but we know people who work a lot more and make a lot more money.
Absolutely.
And honestly, you know, 10 years ago, we were all the same, and we're still really the same
right.
people.
If we're standing at a bar, there's not some intellectual threshold they've crossed on us.
Exactly.
Like, oh, they're killing, and we're not funny. It's like, no, we're all still pretty funny, and like, you know.
Yep. Yeah. And you have a manager who I don't have, or you, whatever right. it may be in that
right.
regard. Good. Well, that's some social commentary there
all right.
after the World Series. Now, we could talk a little bit. You mentioned you didn't watch the Washington National, Native Americans Vikings
yes.
game.
I feel like there should be a campaign by Fed Up, like the Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night. There should be a commercial campaign called Take a Pass on the NFL, because they
Ooh, I
are
like
just
that.
Shoving these terrible games down our throat. Like, I've got to watch the Dolphins in primetime this year. It's like, you got to flex these.
Monday players. Night this week is like the Dolphins and Steelers.
Yeah.
Like, it, two wins combined.
How the Bills play one game, not at 1 o'clock or 10 a.m. Eastern.
And they're going to be the third best team in the AFC
right.
this year.
And of course, no one could have known that, but they...
The NFL is unpredictable,
yeah.
but you've got to have flexibility.
Yes.
Here's the ultimate thing, and I've said this a million times, and it's so easy. 16 games in an 18-week schedule. Every team gets two bye weeks. They take one bye week before their Thursday game. Every team plays one Thursday game.
Perfect.
In 16 weeks, 32 teams.
Right.
You may have to not have a Thursday game the last week of the, or the first week of the year.
Right.
But you can balance it where every team gets two byes.
Right.
Every team doesn't have to do a short week for their Thursday game. And every like, I've done that schedule.
Yes.
And you get 18 NFL weeks to broadcast.
Perfect. That's a sounds like a win-win.
It is. The players don't have to play an extra game. They get more rest. The NFL gets an extra week of broadcasting, which is a lot of money.
Right.
It's right there.
Yeah.
Seems anyway,
so easy.
It seems so
which
easy.
Is why they'll never do
never
it.
Never do it. Never do it. All right. So we talked about baseball. We've dismissed football for right now.
Yes.
And we'll just briefly talk about, we won't talk about hockey other than what I just said just there.
The Buffalo Sabres lost yesterday, but are still the toast of the NHL right now.
Are they?
Yeah.
Hockey's a crazy. Oh, we will talk for a second. It's
Sorry.
Nuts. Well, it's interesting. I will say this: just the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't. Did they win at all?
I don't know.
No, St. Louis did. But Columbus and they didn't. Columbus didn't make it. But they were like the worst record, or St. Louis was the worst record in the NHL at one point.
Mm-hmm.
The Washington Nationals were 19-31 at some point this year.
Wow.
And again, listening to Kornheiser, he's a Nationals fan, so they were had all given up on them. They were going to fire their
left
manager.
Them for dead, yeah.
And now here they are in the World Series. So it's very strange that that's happened. I guess you don't give up on a team.
No, and the opposite happened. I mean, so, you know, Buffalo is kind of a tortured sports town.
Kind of.
But, like, yeah, very much so. But the Sabres started off last year on fire. They were like...
Yeah.
They think they won, like, 8 games in a row at one point. And we were all like, we're going to make the playoffs. We've got these young guys. We're finally not going to, like, foster these young guys for 3 or 4 years.
And then trade
send
them off.
Them away or trade them for new young players. And then they collapsed so catastrophically that they didn't even make the playoffs as, like, an 8 seed.
Yeah.
They completely missed the playoffs.
I think hockey is probably more a game of momentum than any other because it's so physical. And, like, there's so many random little, like, the puck is such a random thing.
It can bounce. I mean, you can literally... whack it out of the air into the goal, which is like 9 times out of 10 you miss that.
Yes,
and then the one time you hit it and it perfectly goes in. I mean, there's
that's
so
why there's always upsets and it's there's a little more randomness in it.
And there and especially in game momentum.
Yep,
because how many times do you see in hockey where a team scores and then they score immediately?
Yep,
they immediately score right.
These mics
here.
Aren't good enough for you to keep them any distance.
I understand.
You.
I'm sorry about that.
No, that's okay.
I'll do
now
better.
I'll talk about the. You a basketball fan?
Yes.
We're very lucky this year, I think, to have. Now, Kawhi is just not, he is not flashy.
No.
I heard someone saying he reminds him of Jordan in the second second three-peat, when Jordan was older and not, you know, Air Jordan as much.
Mm-hmm.
And I was lucky enough to live in Chicago during those years and watched a lot of Bulls games. And I think it's kind of similar, except Jordan was more emotional.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he'd dagger you, and then he'd yell at you. And Kawhi's just going to dagger you, and just nothing.
Yeah.
Just nothing.
Gives you nothing.
But he's got that same, like, he can get his shot anywhere,
because
he's so strong. And he knows, like, oh, I just need to get you a little bit on my side, just like Jordan would. And then I'm up, and the shot's off. And he can hit that short jumper that not everyone takes in the NBA anymore because they value the three and the layup. So you have him. He may be the best player in the NBA now.
Yeah.
Like he just kind of took it. Like, nobody thought Toronto was going to win the title at the beginning of the year. And we also have LeBron and Anthony Davis. Like, every night you're probably going to be able to watch some of the top basketball.
Yes.
Without having the package or anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I want to try to get to a game this year, but if you're in L.A., it's a very lucky special season for watching basketball.
Absolutely, yeah.
And there's never been anything like this in the NBA because, first of all, your only options are basically New York or L.A., where you're going to have two teams in the same city.
Right.
In New York, it's Brooklyn.
Right.
But it's never happened. New York, you've had Mets, you've had Giants, A's, you've had Mets, Yankees, you've had never White Sox, Cubs. That'd be a good one.
Mm-hmm.
But you've never had a season in the NBA where these two teams are so good, battling the whole way.
Yep.
So I'm looking forward to that.
Me too. Me too.
All right. Wow. We got some social commentary. A lot of. I'd keep you here longer, but school was canceled because. And you got here.
Uh-huh.
You were breathing okay, right?
I made it all right. Yeah, you're okay. Listen, like, I think I'm generally at about probably 40% as healthy as I should be. So a little smoke isn't gonna nothing worse than what I've already put into my body by choice.
And here's the thing: you lived in Buffalo. I went to school in upstate New York. I lived in Chicago for the first years of my older kid going to school.
Mm-hmm.
We know what snow days are.
Oh yes.
And like, when you're in California. This is what, you don't know this because you don't have kids, but there's 3 weeks of Christmas break because they don't have snow days.
Oh, shit.
So there's no days to, like, make up or anything like that. So it's a horror to have 3 weeks for Christmas with your kid, by the way. But then stuff like this, they have free license to be like, well, there's fires 50 miles away.
Yeah.
We're going to close all the schools.
Yeah.
Because they don't have, it's, you know, it's either an earthquake or a fire is the only way you're going to cancel school here.
Right, sure.
That's so funny. So we were used to an actual weather thing, and this is kind of, it's like, really? I mean, it couldn't be in school?
I'm looking out a window right now. It's gorgeous.
It is. It's beautiful. It's 73.
Clear
blue skies.
Yeah.
That, you're right. Yeah. I'm going to get angrier and angrier, especially when my kid gets back home. All right. Well, we'll have you. Well, you live right up the street.
Yes.
So we're going to have Tommy back. Probably more than anybody wants, and most especially him.
Great.
This was your sports dump. Anything you're looking forward to on the weekend?
Buffalo Bills, Philadelphia Eagles, 10 a.m. East Western time, 1 p.m. Eastern time.
I'll just say offhand, I thought that coach was a joke last year.
Mm-hmm. McDermott?
Yeah, when he sat, what's his name, and cost him the playoffs for that one game.
Tyrod?
Yeah.
Yep.
But... damn, he's a good defensive coach, certainly.
Yeah, he figured some stuff out.
If Josh Allen can just stay upright.
Yes.
All right. All right. Well, Tommy, thank you for being here. I'll do all the finishing up stuff in post.
All right.
But, this was the Sports Dump. Have a good one.
Goodbye.
Bye.